How's it going, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dark Sunsets. JR, what's good?
What's good, J-Rob? How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Obviously, we know that fantasy football is amongst us, and it's back, which also means NFL is here, which also means I, myself, will be losing a lot of money, but it also means fantasy's here, which comes together once a year and brings everybody truly together, man. How are you feeling about the season?
Yeah, it's always good when football's back. You know, college football is always good to watch, but nothing like pro football and NFL red zone. So, you know, I'm actually excited. You know, we got the fantasy seasons going again. So everybody that, you know, plays fantasy, hopefully your draft went well. Hopefully your team management's going well. And, you know, the cool thing is this year, we actually, a bunch of us have tried this new app. Well, it's kind of new, newer for most of you guys because most people use like Yahoo or ESPN, things like that.
Yeah.
But we've actually been using this app called Sleeper. And just if you're ever going to move your league to any place, or you actually just want to move your league to a spot that actually does have, the most current, most modern kind of like interface and layout, like the draft and everything is just really cool. But you can even do multiple team trades, stuff like that. Like actually give Sleeper a look. It's just a real nice interface. It's real clean. And, it does kind of tie in with we got the new football season, so you got like a new interface and just, you know, it's pretty cool.
I definitely thought it was dope. Like as far as you guys introducing it to the league this season, the interface, the way you can navigate through the app is solid. And of course, being able to just talk shit, which is most important in any fantasy league, being able to do that. So the fact that they have like a good chat system in the application to be able to do that, including GIFs and, shout out to Jay Dave, his GIF game. He like actually has a degree in GIFs.
He's a GIFologist.
I mean, literally, like he went to school and he's like, I want to apply to just have the best reactionary GIFs possible.
it's definitely, because that's the whole point of kind of like just the fantasy leagues. It's not as much about the football, but it's, about like just linking up with your friends, linking up with your peoples. There's some people that I only get to see, when it's really kind of like football time, football season. But every year, you get to link back up. So it's also, going to be a little bit cooler since fall's going to be rolling through. So just it's a real nice time of year, get the hoodie game going again soon, all that good stuff. So, yeah, definitely if you get a chance, check out Sleeper or whatever. And it is always, we always like to say, the darker the sunset, the brighter the day.
Hey, so as we're talking about just NFL, how it's kicked off and everything, my team, obviously the Tampa Bay Bucks, we ate a bag of dicks the first season or the first week here playing against the San Francisco 49ers. It was not good whatsoever. Your Jets, if you want to touch on them. But overall, we have Mr. Winston as our quarterback still as we're diving into just NFL in general. But, I mean, there's a lot to learn for our team. I don't even know if I'll go to a game this season based on that first week's performance.
Well, so the Bucks games are always real hot.
It's the red seats.
The seats, but also the way the stadium is set up. It's kind of just, obviously an open kind of bowl, if you will.
Yeah.
But the way the sun, when it's the afternoon sun setting, it really does hit pretty different than, if it's like a cloudy day. And I've been to Bucks games before where I've had like just like a baseball hat, just a regular hat on or whatever, and just been so dehydrated afterwards where I almost had like headaches and stuff like that just because it's so hot.
Right.
But I will say that I did go, not to sound bougie or anything, but I did go to a game. It was actually last year, I think it was the Jets Bucks game, but we were sitting in club seats. I went with Boyle from Boyle's Backyard, or formerly Boyle's Backyard.
And that's where you can eat all you can eat and all you can drink as well? What's that setup?
No, it's still, you still have to pay per food item and stuff like that. But you're in air conditioning. Well, the main area is air conditioning, but then you walk out and then you actually do have a covered area.
Right.
So it's like you're not exposed to the hot, hot sun, one way or the other. And it makes it a lot easier to enjoy the game because you're not just passing out from the sweltering heat. So I'll go to a Bucks game if we can get just a reasonable opponent and in club seats.
And so on that note, Bucks are actually playing tomorrow against my bros team, the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. I'm optimistic, but based on the first week performance, I'm not sure what we're actually going to do. But as we're talking about NFL just completely, that does lead us into – you know, our main story that we want to bring up to everybody who might not even watch NFL, but he really is the clown of the NFL to date, year to date, about this. And, you know, the timeline about Antonio Brown most recently, you know, if you've been following the news whatsoever, you've seen what he's been doing during the off season with getting his feet frostbitten by stepping into a cryotherapy tank without any socks on, which is easily the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right, right.
And then now he's getting rape allegations that are coming up. So from a timeline perspective, and we'll dive into this, but what are your thoughts around AB? And if you were an owner of a sports team, such as, let's say, you know, one of the NFL teams, but even in fantasy, I would avoid him at all costs.
The whole AB situation. So for all of you that don't know, Antonio Brown is a wide receiver. He catches the ball, in the NFL. He's been on a couple teams technically within the last year, because he was on the Pittsburgh Steelers, then got traded to the Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders are actually going to go to Las Vegas, I think, next year.
Yep.
And then he ended up getting cut from the Raiders, and then is now signed with the Patriots. But he's been kind of like an enigma, because, you know, basically he was a top, we'll say he was a top five wide receiver in the league. So he's a top five person at his position. And, you know, wide receivers, I guess, tend to be on average, I guess, just based off of the general perception, they tend to be a little bit more higher maintenance, if you will.
Yeah.
So
divas, as they share.
Yeah, divas. And he's on the most diva-y end of the spectrum. You know, like, he throws tantrums, tosses water coolers onto the field, stuff like that. And, you know, you can get away with some of that stuff if you produce. But at the same time, you know, you still have to be fun to work with. So just in general, it's like, if somebody is giving you, you know, positive criticism or constructive criticism, or just giving you a suggestion, instead of getting offended about it, you know, you actually take it for what it is, you know, and hopefully apply it. But it's only going to help make you better, make the situation better. You know what I mean? So he's not that type of person. So basically, since 2012, he's had like a bunch of different kind of dramatical incidents happen, you know, that kind of just aren't traditional, just, you know, kind of moving the ball along that diva line, if you will.
Yeah.
So just like you mentioned, he had like after he got traded to the Oakland Raiders from the Steelers, basically, actually, the last game that he was going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he ended up kind of making himself sit out of practice, and then they ended up benching him, and it was a must-win game for them in order to make the playoffs. And he didn't play, and then he got traded. So then he got the frostbitten feet, you know. Yep. he froze his feet, and, you know, when you do it, you're literally like freezing your feet. It's the cryotherapy.
Yeah.
So you have to put these little booties on. You know, if you've done it a million times, you know that if they're not on or whatever. But he does this, freezes his feet, has horrible frostbite, looks terrible. And then,
yeah, we recommend the listeners to not look up those photos of those feet.
It was terrible.
They're real scary.
Yeah, the feet, like, I still am shocked from that whole thing. But then, you know, he also had, he had a helmet that he used to wear last year.
Yep.
And for safety reasons, the NFL had upgraded their helmet specifications. So then he couldn't wear his helmet that he wore last year. And at first, he threatened to retire. And then, you know, if he couldn't use his old helmet, then he raised an appeal and he lost the appeal. Then he appealed again.
Yep.
And then he lost that appeal.
Right.
So it was like a lot of circus and whatnot, because it's like, you figured, why is this guy going to say he's going to retire? Like, he should just be out there playing and whatnot.
And it seems like all of his antics, they're nothing new, right? If you're from an outside perspective and you're looking at this being like, oh, well, the last year AB has really gone off and done these antics. He's been doing this for we said, what, 2012? So at least, you know, 7 years.
Yeah, there's been all sorts of stuff that's been going on. And I mean, he had even at one point, when he was getting tired of being in Pittsburgh, he had even dyed his his mustache blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
You know, so like, in just the mustache. So it was the whole, and there's actually way more stuff. Like we would literally be here the whole episode if I was actually going to sit here and try to tell you everything that he had done.
Yeah.
But the only thing that really sucks, especially because I'm a Jets fan, and I mean for anybody that likes the NFL, except if you're somehow a Patriots fan, which is, you know, not great either way. But if you are, then sorry for your luck.
Yeah, we don't advise you to listen to this podcast anymore if you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah, but it's like, so then Antonio Brown forces his release from the Oakland Raiders and then, you know, just goes and signs with the Patriots. So the Patriots, who end up in a lot of Super Bowls anyway, just because the division that they're in with the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills,
yep,
isn't that great. They just got, like, the rich get richer. They just got better, and they didn't have to really spend much to get him. So
I feel, and let me ask you this. So obviously the amount of excitement that came over for AB to be able to go to the Patriots, do you think him going to the Raiders in the back of his mind, was he ever going to play for the Raiders, or was this a ploy for him to eventually get underneath
the Patriots?
Right, get underneath Belichick and play with Brady and, you know, definitely win a Super Bowl? Because with that acquisition, if things go well, and as you and I both know, it seems like Belichick doesn't take any shit and will, you know, suspend him or sit him out if he doesn't go right the Patriots' way.
Right.
I'm interested to see how that plays out, because if that is successful and you look at their wide receiver threats now, right, so you have obviously Edelman, Josh Gordon, the backfield, I mean, is sketchy. I try not to actually involve any players in my fantasy teams, but if they can get it right, which they've been doing, you know, and Gronk is even threatening to come back. Did you see about that as well?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Patriots are going to have people, you know, that are going to come back out of retirement or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, though. Well, so the other thing, because this, you know, I know we're talking about a bit of the fantasy football aspect of stuff, whatever. But this is going to kind of tie into, you know, part of the story anyway. We're not sure exactly when Antonio Brown wasn't, just due to the timing that he had signed with the Patriots, he wasn't able to play the first game of the season. But, you know, based off of our second story, with all the drama and stuff that surrounded him, just, I believe it was yesterday or today, Antonio Brown was accused of rape in a lawsuit. And so he just got accused of three different, you know, counts of sexual assault in 2017 and 2018. And it was against a woman that attended college with him. And so we're not sure if Antonio Brown is going to play or not. I mean, obviously these are just allegations, so the NFL always looks into things like that nature, whatnot.
Right.
So they'll look into it definitely. But he was accused of raping a woman that worked as his trainer. And that was like the lawsuit that was filed on, it was on a Tuesday. It was on, I want to say today was the, is it today's 11th? So
yeah.
The 8th. No, sorry, the 9th. Pardon.
The 9th.
So it was on Tuesday the 9th. And so the lady had filed it. She worked as his trainer. And then basically, I believe that they, and I think you have a little bit more backstory to her than I have on my screen right now, but I believe that they, you know, worked out together. You know, did meal planning, things of that nature, whatnot, and they actually ended up having a consensual relationship at that point.
Right. So this one in particular was, according to the suit, Brown actually sexually assaulted Taylor twice during training sessions in June of 2017. First, he exposed himself and kissed her without her permission, is what she's saying. And the lawsuit is actually saying that in particular. Then later that month, the lawsuit also states that while they were streaming religious programming on a tablet, because apparently they met each other in a Bible study class.
Okay.
In his South Florida home. This is what's corrupt about AB. Think about this. While they were actually streaming a religious programming on his tablet digitally, Brown started masturbating behind Taylor and then furthermore ejaculated on her back. The lawsuit contains images of profane messages that Taylor says Brown sent about the incident. Taylor actually ended the working relationship, especially after that, and was swayed by his assurance that he would cease any sexual advances moving forward.
Hmm.
So this is the type of person that we're talking about here. So if he's able to do this off the field, you know, he's an incredible talent, but when you look at what he's doing off the field, in my opinion, that supersedes the talent. And,
right.
you know, as a franchise owner, I would look at this and say, I wouldn't even want to get involved in someone like this because, you know, this could jeopardize the team, the chemistry, and the brand.
Yeah, I mean, and so we had mentioned that since, like, 2012, he had, like, a lot of incidents. And, I mean, it was there were incidents on the field for the most part. But, you know, he did a lot of stuff where it'd be, like, he'd, like, record, you know, private conversations in the locker room with, like, his coach or, like, with players, things of that nature. And it's just weird. Like, some of the stuff that he would do is just kind of, like, off-putting. But then you think a guy that has this much talent – you know, he's putting as much energy as possible into his craft.
Yeah.
But then he still has all this energy to do all this other stuff like freezing his feet and stuff like that. Cause you know, with the whole suit and everything that has to be figured out, but we know that he froze his feet. Mm-hmm. We know that, he got in an argument with his general manager, things of that nature that ended up getting kicked off the team, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's got a lot of energy and apparently, you know, he needs to find another way to channel like the off-field energy. I mean, because apparently if you can be an all-pro, you know, professional athlete and still have enough juice to run amok in a bad way, you know, your talents need to be used. Like he might need to, you know, practice like engineering or something
where he can apply that. Right. I mean,
not just dyeing your mustache blonde.
No, I mean, he looked like a lunatic when he was doing interviews with that. also in the Hard Knocks season, I did notice that, you know, he has like two small kids. So this is the example that he's setting for his kids.
Right.
It's definitely something that, he should look into, but all said and done, AB just come play football, like figure it out.
Go play football, and then when somebody's using a sleeper app and they draft you, they're not gonna have a tough time when they're trying to, you know, get fantasy wins. But yeah, hopefully they're gonna get to the bottom of it, and hopefully it's not another person that has another rape case or something like that. But we'll just post up and follow up with this on you guys, you know, down the line if and when we get an update. Then of course we'll hit you with that Dark Sense That's Knowledge. But then to go to our next story, I know a lot of people are freaking out because the current trend right now is hard seltzer.
You better believe it. So when you're talking Truly, when you're talking White Claw, so this story actually brings us up about White Claw. So there has actually been a national shortage of White Claw. This term is the most fucking hilarious term I've heard. So the nation has been, the product is called White Claw. So the nation feels as if because there's a shortage, now they've been declawed. Okay, so yes, millennials are actually panicking that White Claw, which is, if you don't know, it's a new, I think it's new, but it's relatively new, this flavored hard seltzer that more and more people are drinking, especially, you know, down here in Florida, it's so hot and you don't feel like you're full by drinking beer. So these hard seltzers and these ciders are really taking over.
Right.
So people are, you know, freaking out. They're creating pandemonium. And White Claw has actually made an announcement saying they're doing everything that they can in order to bring the quantity back to the stores. But I mean, this literally, JR, sounds almost like the Popeye situation all over again.
Yeah. So, the whole declaw thing, that's hilarious, by the way. But I know more people to drink because I actually drink hard seltzer more now too because, one, like you said, I don't feel as full versus like if I have beer, like I definitely don't feel as full. But two, it definitely does have lower calories and sugars. So as I'm trying to stay in shape and whatnot, then, you know, if I'm not having all these processed sugars and stuff like that, it helps me stay, you know, fit. So, you know, it's definitely been a crazy trend. But you know, at first they had like the hard ciders, like you said, then they had the hard sodas. So it'd be like hard orange sodas, you know, grape sodas, stuff like that. Those sodas had a lot of sugars in it, though. The Trulies and the White Claws and whatnot, since they are lower calories and lower sugars, you can actually enjoy having a drink without having as much guilt, if you will. So,
right. Yeah.
The funny thing that it was what you said about the whole Popeyes thing, though, because, you know, obviously, on this pod, we've covered some podcast moments with Popeyes where we had the brioche bun chicken sandwich.
Yep.
The brioche and butter. you know, we had like a lot of good moments. And actually on Twitter, just because of this White Claw shortage, there was a, you know, somebody on Twitter that was joking around saying that if you're having a Popeye's chicken sandwich with a White Claw this weekend, you've won the lottery. Just because you can't actually, you know, everything, all these things that are scarce, it's actually starting to generate all this hype. So, you know, if you were to have a White Claw and this Popeye's brioche bun sandwich, you might actually be at true nirvana. You might have centered your chi completely at that point.
I mean, you think about it, right? Both of those products are so scarce now in order to find that if you have both of them, one, people, if they saw that, like if you posted on social media, they'd roll up and be like, what's going on? I'm going to rob you for both of these things. And another thing that we should definitely tell the listeners is I feel like out of the, you know, 18 episodes that we've recorded, I want to say out of 16 episodes, we've probably been drinking either White Claw or Truly's the whole time.
Truly. Yeah, truly.
Definitely. And there, so we hope that everything comes back successfully and people don't lose their minds, not only about the Popeye's chicken sandwich, but also, of course, about the White Claws, because they are so common and more millennials are drinking them and incorporating them into barbecues and just fun day out, and that you don't feel full. So go out there, give it a try. But there is a group that's actually not worried about this shortage before it happened. I don't know if you want to share with the audience here about, you know, what this group actually did.
Yeah, the group itself, I think it's actually a smart move, but it's a fraternity. They decided to scoop up about $7,500 worth of White Claws, you know, just because there was going to be a national shortage. They decided that was the time to do it. So this fraternity decided that it was going to be a White Claw summer, and they went to the store, like literally looking at the photo, and we can post this on our social. It's, you know, a pallet with, it's a, that looks like about 12 to 15 rows of White Claws, and that's going about 10 across.
Yeah.
And 10 deep. Yeah. So
it's like when you go to like a Sam's Club, just for the, to visually represent it. It's like when you go to a Sam's Club and you look above and there's Saran wrap around everything in order to compact it. They bought one of those crates.
The full crate itself, I mean, it's, I think at one point it's actually taller than a couple of the people, but it's, they actually posted the photo of the they called it a claw haul. They posted a photo of the claw haul, and they actually left the store with, reading the rest of this, they left the store with not one, not two, but three entire pallets worth full. So the one pallet that we're looking at, that's not even the $7,500 worth. That's just a third of it, which is crazy.
Wow.
I don't know how they actually got that home, just these pallets itself. They must have had to rent like a full-size truck, because one of those little small U-Haul trucks isn't going to do the trick on this.
No. I mean, it is in Texas, so you know they have probably some fuck-off big trucks. Yeah, but they probably had to, you know, accommodate to bring all those back to the fraternity. Because you imagine, you know, when people back in the day, you'd roll up and be like, oh, I have a keg. Imagine walking up and be like, I have a crate of White Claw.
I got a crate of claw. I got a claw haul, baby. So apparently there was also, as they said in the article, one salty bro. That's in quotation, one salty bro. He says that they got to spend their dad's money somehow. I'm just laughing because, I mean, he shouldn't be throwing salt. He shouldn't be throwing shade. He should technically
partying up. If he's participating in the product that the kid's bringing back, like, I mean, the kid's a fan favorite, clearly.
But yeah, so apparently after all this time, there's no fraternity that's actually came forward and taken claim for the claw haul, which is probably smart. They don't want to have people knocking at their doors. But as the whole supply starts to, you know, increase, they'll probably just drink them more or whatever. But while it's decreasing, I'm sure they'll probably sell a few and make a little bit of a premium off of them.
I think that would be the play. I mean, now that we've identified that, you know, there's a shortage in the product itself and people are fiending for it, where I would look at that as a business opportunity. Out of the three crates, I would party with one and then sell the other two, or work with people who really need them.
Right.
I mean, that is definitely something to be able to do. So all in all, get your claws while you can. Get your paws on some claws before, you know, you can't get a claw haul.
Don't get declawed out there.
But I tell you what, so as we're talking about those products and, you know, the shortages of those You know, that leads us into our next story. There is a shortage of actually people focusing on the road now. So now this story just had you and I rolling, but you know, when you think about a Tesla and you think about the capabilities of what a Tesla can do, there is an auto driving feature. So there was a video that circulated in Massachusetts, and it looks like it's a couple probably in their mid to late 20s, maybe if not early 30s. And they're driving in a Tesla, and I use the quotes around driving because the car is going 50 or 60 miles an hour, and the driver of the car is literally buckled in, thank God, but his head is on his chin, completely passed out, yeah. And his girlfriend or wife is just leant over on the right, just looking up and equally as passed out. So this feature, autopilot, can accelerate, can steer, and can brake on its own, but it's not considered to be actual self-driving technology. So since Tesla first began rolling out the poorly named feature in 2014, there have been several instances where drivers have been caught napping, JR, while their cars are driving.
Teslas are cool, in my opinion. It might not be as practical for some people as it is, because you know it's all electric, so you have to charge it up or whatever else. Yeah. So it might not be as practical, but these people in this photo, they're passed out hard. Like anytime you're passed out and you're passed out like face down, like so the driver is in the seat with the seat belt, but the head's down. So like if they were to hit something, for example, the head would actually hit the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there looking at this, and I mean, plus that can't be good for the neck posture. Like the lumbar and the neck, it's all going to be, you know, screwed up. But yeah, they can't call it autopilot because technically if they did that, or they can't say that it's fully self-driving technology, because if they did, then people would expect, oh, I'm just going to hop in the car,
press the button, and it's my destination. Yeah.
You know, so they can't actually say that. But apparently there's been a lot of hoax videos and stuff of people pretending to be asleep and people like pretending to be asleep to do it. So they'd be like, oh man, I got this, I got that. But then it seems like as of lately, there's a lot of people that are actually doing it. And I mean, just like anybody else, it'd be tight to, you know, get your Kindle, pop out your Kindle, you know, read a book when you're on the way to work or wherever, on the way to an appointment, and then just, oh, I'm there, you know, hop out and you're good to go. But these people are passing out on the highway
completely. Yeah.
sketchy.
We recommend that you guys definitely look into this video and see just these people who are completely passed out on a interstate going 60 miles an hour plus, and just driving down the highway. I mean, Teslas are fun, but if I was that person and if I was a driver, I would wake up just shitting myself and freaked out completely. But maybe they feel confident in what the Tesla can do. I don't know.
Might have to scoop one now. I mean, if you
based on that,
pass right out, then, you know, fuck it. I mean, let it ride.
I mean, and that's just craziness. And that leads us definitely into our next story, talking about craziness. There was an Indian woman this past weekend who actually gave birth to twins at age 73. So this woman who was 73 in India gave birth to two twin girls. I'm not going to butcher her name, but a farmer from the southern state is believed to be the oldest person to ever give birth. She became pregnant through IVF, and doctors believe that the babies were delivered actually via C-section, which is positive,
right?
Because everything else downstairs probably is not great at 73. So the surgery went really well, and the mothers and the babies are all healthy with no complications. The doctors did perform the C-section and will keep her under observation for the next 21 days, which is wild because so many questions come up. We are not allowing the mother, the doctor said, to actually breastfeed, and the babies will be fed through the milk bank. So the husband, who is actually 80 years old, already begun making plans for his daughter and the new life that they're about to have together. So a couple of things from the story, and I want to get your take as well. 80 and 73, these kids were born this past week. Are they going to see their parents pass 3 years old, 4 years old? I mean, what's the over-under there?
I mean, I would hope that they... So the dad would have to make it to 100 to see, or he had to make it to 101 to see them of drinking age.
Right.
So that's going to be tough. At least the mom would be able to make it, you know, a little bit further. But if she was able to, you know, produce, or at least, you know, carry a bun in the oven for all that time. And
double buns.
And he was at least, you know, spry enough to, I know that you said that they did IVF, whatever.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, everything was active. So I'm at least giving him maybe 10 to 12.
10 to 12 years.
And technically the guy always goes first just because the woman always, you know, helps him along his way. So I'll give him like 10 and then I'll give her like 15.
Perfect.
That'll be a nice little over under, you know, to hit the over. He's got 10, she's got 15.
I like that. I mean, you know, hopefully these kids actually are able to witness their parents, you know, at least to like 5 or 6 years old, but you never know. In Indian culture, they could be on their own at an early age, just like the Lion Kingdom. Just like, here you go, throw them in the mix. So our final story that we have here that we want to wrap up and just share with you guys, a woman who actually traveled 3.5 hours on a train and spent about $100 to meet with a guy that she met online via Tinder, actually gets called fat at the train station and gets dumped right there and then.
Is this young lady, her age was 27 years old, but her name was Jade. And apparently she had, quote unquote, put some weight on, but she had been dating a guy that, I guess just 4 weeks earlier, they had just started dating. So the guy was a salesman, had been dating. They had went on multiple dates. Everything went well. And then, you know, this is now to the current, to the present. She, you know, went to meet him for the next date. And, you know, they were going to just go for drinks, you know, rendezvous, have a good time. And apparently when I'm trying to like read this without laughing too loud, just because it's so crazy, but apparently, and note, he'd been dating her for now a while now,
right?
You know, this is long enough where it's not like a surprise what she looks like. And she looks, you know, reasonable. Like I looked at the photo, she looks reasonable. So definitely. I don't even know what exactly this guy's
saying.
She's
a solid British 8, like definitely.
And you know, apparently he sees her and he says something to the effect of, I think the quote was, fuck me, you've put on some weight, haven't you?
Which is so British of a thing to say. Literally, like he said that directly to her face. And I mean, a couple of things right off the bat. I feel bad for her, obviously.
Right.
Spending money, traveling all that way just to not be treated fairly.
Right.
And what's great is if you look a little bit further, the mom of Jade actually set up a GoFundMe page as a joke and has already gotten the money back for all the rendezvous that she's had to go to and from via train.
Yeah, and so there, I mean, it definitely sucks because, I mean, if she's going to spend that funds to go take the train to go a couple hours to get to this guy, and the guy had been on dates with her before, I mean, I don't get that whole thing. He must have been having just a horrible day to just, you know, transition into that, because it's like...
No, this guy's the worst, yeah.
If she's going that far, you know, for a Tinder date that you guys have already been on dates before, then she's probably looking for, you know, like dinner and dessert possibly. And you're going to sit there and then insult her like that? Like that's just, you know.
You can't do that. So
you can't have your cake and eat it too.
No, literally. So, I mean, we love you guys. Jade, shout out to you. Anytime you're in America, come on Dark Sunsets. And as always,
peace.